Have you always known that you're on a soul path? And have you wondered how to gain real insight into the steps along your own unique journey? Welcome everyone, I'm Sara Main, and thank you for joining me on Damayanti, the show for your soul. It's great to have you join me. Damayanti means deep peace and calm. Damayanti sheds a light for your soul through the gift of wisdom that shines in the beautiful and universal language of Sanskrit. Damayanti is the show that speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and enriches your soul. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Damayanti, the show for your soul, with me, Sara Main. And today we're going to be talking about the power of questions to make us free. Who, what, where, why, when. The power of questions to make us free. I mean, we all want freedom, and there are many ways to achieve it. But one of the easiest ways and one of the most natural ways, one of the ways that's most in alignment, is to use the power of questions, questioning, inquiry. All the great teachers and traditions talk about this, and many of the great teachers proceeded via questions. People ask them questions, and their teachings are in response to those questions. And we don't realize, I think, in my experience, in my opinion, that we don't utilize questions enough, like really good questions. And Tony Robbins, you know, the sort of popular, famous motivational speaker, he said successful people ask better questions, and as a result, they get better answers. Successful people ask better questions, and as a result, they get better answers. And this is true. Very successful people, they use questions much more, I think, than we do on an average day, because questions are fruitful. And final answers tend to close the inquiry off, obviously, so there's no further evolution. So often it's the question is more important than the answer. So there's three ways or three steps to asking questions. This is sort of obvious, but it's good to just stop and take time and consider this so that you get into the vibe of asking questions, stopping and asking questions and proceeding through inquiry rather than just being on a roller coaster, being on a treadmill and just doing the same thing over and over again because you think it brings about the same result. Stopping and asking questions just opens up the whole energy, the whole vibe. So there's three steps to asking good questions. The first one is there's something you want to know and you realize that you don't know it. There's something you want to know and you realize that you don't know it. The second is to formulate a precise question. And I'll talk about questioning and types of questions later. So formulate a precise question and ask the question that you want to be answered. For example, if you're feeling unhappy or miserable, you could ask, why am I feeling miserable? Or you could ask, how can I be free of misery? Right? Why am I feeling miserable will give you one answer. But what about how can I be free of misery? Because that's ultimately what you want, is to be free of misery. So ask that question. So formulate a precise question and ask the question that you want to be answered. And the third step is to listen carefully when the answer comes, right? That means being in a state of receptivity without being kind of grabby, like I gotta know. Being in a state of just openness and receptivity. And we need to be ready for unexpected answers or answers that you may not want to hear. And Ram Dass said, the quieter you become, the more you can hear. The quieter you become, the more you can hear. So there's a bit more on, let's just talk about this openness and state of receptivity, because this is really, really crucial. It's being okay with not knowing, just getting comfortable with this openness where we literally don't know. And there's great potential in this not knowing, and there's great creative power in this uncertainty. So we're resting with this sense of mystery. And this is a precondition to learning from and using the questions so that we know that we don't know and we accept our own not knowing. It's a bit of that's a bit circular, but we know that we don't know and we accept this unknowing and that we need help, that we need help and we're prepared to seek help. There's a vulnerability in this openness, and that's it's the vulnerability is often why we shy away from asking questions and we just stick with some sort of known route and we don't stop and question. So there's such power and potential in open-ended questioning, and as a teacher, utilizing it well in a class is utterly brilliant and so powerful for everyone. Like the teacher learns as much as the students do. And everyone gets out of an open-ended question what they're ready or need to hear or they're open to hearing. It's not just one size fits all. That's one thing I love about the open-ended question. Not necessarily the yes, no. There's nothing wrong with yes, no questions, and I'll talk about this later again. Because as a coach, I trained after teaching, more decades of teaching, I trained as an executive coach, and I was trained, coaches use questions, you proceed through questions. And it was something that I had never really put my attention on until I started training as an executive coach. And the use of questions, one of the powerful things is by using a question, the answer rises within yourself. Or if I was coaching, the answer rises in the client. And that means they have ownership of that knowledge, of that experience. It's not something coming from me to them. And when we use questions ourselves, it rises within ourselves, the answer, the way forward, the solution. And we have ownership of that. It's so empowering because it's come from the universe, and that's where the empowerment comes. We're not just being told by someone else. So we always need to sort of check in with ourselves, and that's where the power of questioning is so valuable. So there's nothing wrong with yes/no questions. And in my coach training, we were taught that yes/no questions do have a purpose, and they do. You use them to kind of really nail something down, get specific, get a commitment, get some truth happening in the conversation by using yes/nos, because they do cut through things. But we really need to utilize the open-endedness to bring out the new potential of something. So, for example, how can I do better in a situation? What can I learn from this situation? What's the next best step or next best action to take right now when you don't know what to do? I use this question all the time. What is the next best step to take right now? What is the next best action to take right now? And there'll always be a response. Here and now, there'll be a response if you just stay open. And then I follow that, and that opens up whole new paths. But I've got to actually stop and ask that question rather than just predict or anticipate and then take that next step. Because it's that prediction and anticipation that keeps us kind of blinkered and focused down. So we don't actually see the potential of the moment and take advantage of that. Excuse me. So we need to keep our attention focused. And it's not laser-like focus on a single point. There is a place for this. In open-ended questioning, it's that open, focused receptivity, that awareness. I've got lots of examples of people telling me about utilizing the right question. My husband was looking for a list one day, and it was a really important list that he needed for work. And he was getting quite concerned. He was a lawyer at the time, and he was concerned that he couldn't find this list, this really important list. And this was pre-computers, folks. And he just stopped, and he was going, "Where's this list? Where's this list?" And all he could remember was the last place he put the list. Or so he thought. So he went and checked that place, and the list wasn't there. And Now he was getting really concerned because someone had moved the list. And so he just fell still. He had that training, that wisdom. He fell still, took a moment, and he just said, "Where is the list now?" And he just put that question out. This was in the office. And in that moment, someone working in the office walked by and said, "Are you all right?" And he said, "I'm looking for this list." And they said, "Oh, I saw the list sitting there and I moved it and I've put it in a safe place. Here it is." So he asked the right question in that moment. The exact right confluence of all those forces came and provided him with the list. Another example is I was at a reunion, a class, a 10-year reunion of some students I taught, and they sat me down and said, "Did you know what you were doing? We know things that other our friends who didn't go to the same school went to, who didn't have you as a teacher went to. We know things and can do things that other people can't. Did you know what you were doing?" And they wanted to know, they asked the question. I was able to say, "Yes, I did know what I was doing." Excuse me. But they actually wanted to, excuse me, I'm very froggy today. They actually wanted to know. So, and they stopped and asked the question, which is phenomenal, really, to have students with that level of awareness that would ask that 10 years later when they're adults. Running Damayanti and developing this platform, Damayanti, proceeded on questions, constantly asking, is there something we should be doing? What's the next step? Are we assuming too much? How best to move forward from here? And that is how I proceed all the time. And it's a very, very powerful thing. So Socrates, that great ancient Greek master, said, "The only true wisdom is in knowing that you know nothing, is in knowing that you know nothing." So that's a little overview of the power of questioning. It is the way to proceed. I mean, I'm living proof of it with Damayanti, but also the way I went from teaching, I knew I was going to leave teaching at some point, and I sat down and asked myself, what is the next step? What can I do? What is the way forward to utilize the best of what I have to offer? And I had never heard of coaching before, and within almost hours, I had heard about or learned about coaching, and I stepped forward, I did some training, I discovered so much more, and then I opened a coaching practice and I did executive coaching, and I again learned so much. So questioning is so powerful. So after the break, we're going to stop and have a break now. So after the break, I'm going to talk about different types of questions and how to hear the answers. In my coach training, that was one of the remarkable things I learned, was about the different types of questions. Because I often proceeded on yes, no answers, and that was very much old style teaching practice. But getting comfortable with open-ended questions and then all sorts of other types of questions. And that was another great discovery. So different types of questions and how to hear the answers. So we'll be back after the break. We'll see you soon.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why, or how the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become? This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Crust busting your way to an awesome life. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Damayanti, the show for your soul. And today's show is all about the power of questions. Before the break, I was talking about, you know, really successful people, they utilize questions in a very direct, proactive way. They proceed through inquiry. And when I was teaching, I learned more about this. And then towards the end of my teaching career, when I asked myself, I started this inquiry of what do I do next? And I discovered coaching, and I didn't know anything about it, never heard of it actually. And then I started, I did a coach training course over a period of years, and then started a coaching practice, an executive coaching practice. And utilizing questions is how coaches proceed. They're not telling you something, they're bringing the answer out from you via questions, via the inquiry, and holding that space open for the client. And that was a remarkable thing, because as a teacher, you used to sort of delivering information. You know something, the student doesn't, you tell them, they learn it. You know, I mean, that's a very mechanistic way of proceeding, but that's one of the elements to it. But to really stand in the space that everybody is an infinite, limitless, universal being in this physical form, and that the answers are there, the way to proceed, this universal omniscience, all-knowingness is there, and it's a case of bringing that forward in your daily life and how you live your life and evolve your life. I learned was via questions, and it was really not something I had consciously used until this point, and it was so powerful. And then I started in the coach training, I started learning about different types of questions. And then and how better to hear the answers. So I want to talk a little bit about these different types of questions, which is something people aren't always aware of. It's a bit more common these days to talk about open-ended questions, like how is that serving you? What can I learn here? What's the best way forward? These are all open-ended questions, and they're incredibly powerful, and I try and use them every day rather than just anticipate and predict, or just not even think, just go ahead mechanically. And then the also how to hear the answer, staying open and receptive to hearing these answers. So these different types of questions, there is the open-ended one. And then there's the what are often called funnel questions. And that's a series of questions. Think of a funnel with wider at the top going down, narrowing down to a point at the bottom. Funnel questions start open with something quite sort of general, and then they get more specific. It's a series of questions. As more information comes forward, you can get more specific. So if you want to determine how best to proceed with a project, maybe at work or with a situation you're dealing with the family, because family situations always need a lot of inquiry, start with something open, like, well, what is the major factors in this situation? Which one, then I'm going to get more specific. For example, if I was a coach, which one is highlighting for you as the most, is the one that has more energy around it and needs more specific attention right now? What is it about that particular one? And you see, each question I'm asking, I'm narrowing it down. So we end up with this quite organic funnel to a point. And a series of funnel questions is incredibly powerful. And it's all being guided by the knowledge that's in the answers in each question, that come forward in each question. There's two-part questions. I loved these as a coach. There's two-part questions. If that we often have barriers and blocks within ourselves, like time and money are two of the absolute classics. And a two-part question like, if you had all the time in the world, what could you do? It's an open-ended question, but notice that first bit. If you had all the time in the world, what could you do? That first part of the question actually removes that blockage of time, because in the Western world particularly, we carry around just innate blockages. It's in the sort of collective consciousness that time and money are two of the major reasons or excuses or blockages as to why we don't do something or why we can't do something. So if you take that away, if you had all the time in the world, what could you do? In your mind, that's immediately removed, that one of those blockages, and the potential behind that is then allowed to come forward. If you had all the time in the world, what could you do? If money was no object, what could you do? And they're so powerful, those questions, because they do open up incredible potential in every moment. I've utilized those sorts of questions, and there's tons of ones like that. But notice two parts to it. And the first one removes the blockage. The second one then opens up the potential. Of course, the question of all questions for everyone is, who am I? Who am I? Sometimes asked as, what am I? These are really important questions. That one alone, who am I? What am I? Rather than an assumption, which then keeps our life and our vision narrow. Where am I? Where am I? Where am I now? And that may not necessarily be a physical location. Where am I now? Okay, I'm sitting in this room that has an address on the street. And it's in a particular county, city, state, country, on the planet, in the universe. Where am I? Again, opening up the potential. Yes, no questions. As I said before the break, yes, no questions do have a place, but they need to be used strategically and specifically, because yes, no questions get you getting specific, and they nail something down and get a commitment. So they're better used later on rather than initially, because they can just keep things narrow. And open-ended questions, using that funnel sequence, for example, two-part questions, things like that, open up everything. And then when you want to get specific and you want to get down to what actions you're going to take, then the yes-no questions are really, really useful. It's, I was taught that's where you get truth happening, are you committed to making the change that you want to make? Are you committed to taking this action? These are the sorts of questions you would ask at the end of a coaching session. You know, are you committed to making the changes that have come up for you right now that you've determined you want to make? Are you sure that this is the step you want to take right now? And look, it's nothing of life-changing, but they were specific things in relation to something that a client wanted to take or wanted to do. So one other example of using good questions was, apart from in my coaching, which my whole coaching practice was founded on that, and it was so powerful. I saw clients, come in and they'd lost their mojo. They didn't know what to do. And then through questioning, they discovered that exciting potential within themselves. They discovered what they wanted to do, and they got excited about the way forward because they felt, I could actually do this. This is something I can do. When I was teaching at the school I was at, we formulated a new discipline policy. We had to. It was part of compliance for the government. And we had a fundamental rule, which was do that which is reasonable in the circumstances and don't do that which is unreasonable. So when infractions of the discipline policy, which of course happen, it's natural, they're kids, The first question we asked was, you know, was that reasonable? The action that you took, was that reasonable? And in the space when they're speaking to the teacher or to the adult, the child always knows the answer. They said no. And of course, a 6-year-old will give a 6-year-old answer and a 15-year-old will give a 15-year-old answer. But everybody knows it's innate in the human being. Everybody knows whether that was reasonable or not. And then you can then explore, take that behavior and explore, how do we make that better? What sort of restoration needs to happen? What sort of consequence needs to happen? So it's a process that proceeds on reason, and everybody benefits. The person, the perpetrator benefits, and the so-called victim benefits. So it's incredibly powerful, this power of questions. It's being utilized in all the great wisdom traditions. It's being utilized by very successful people. It's utilized by everyone who knows and understands the power of inquiry. And staying in this state of openness, the quieter you become, the more you can hear. This is really that hearing those quiet answers, you know, different questions and quiet answers, because sometimes the answers will come in simple ways, but you will always get an answer. Sometimes you'll just hear something and that'll be exactly the answer you were looking for. Sometimes you'll see something. So you need to be awake and aware and alert to the answer. You will always get an answer, but sometimes you need to give it time. And sometimes the answer may come in an unexpected form. As Jesus said in Matthew, ask and it shall be given you. If you ask, you will get an answer for sure. You just need to be open and receptive. So do ask. So good luck with it. Really proceed. Use questions. They are so powerful. That is the way to evolve a wonderful, fulfilling life, by asking questions and then following the answers. So in my next show, just a little teaser, I'm going to talk about taking control of your life through powerful questions. I'm actually going to take you through the first two steps of the Conscious Confidence Making It a Reality course that I evolved, and it's all through questioning. So hop along to that, and taking control of your life through powerful questions. That's going to be my next show. So if you want to know more about Damayanti, go to my website, damayanti.store, damayanti.store, and you can check out the beautiful collections of jewelry that I've got. I've got spiritual jewelry with Sanskrit mantras, sacred mantras engraved on it. I'm wearing one right now. It says Satya, which means truth, and it's written in beautiful Sanskrit lettering. There's also T-shirts and a poster and stuff like that. But the jewelry is beautiful, and it's spiritual jewelry, and it's an energetic reminder that you can keep with you. So go to my website, damayanti.store. And I'm also on Instagram and Facebook, so check it out there. And I'm going to finish with a short Sanskrit prayer. It's the perfect prayer. That is perfect. This is perfect. Perfect comes from perfect. Take perfect from perfect. The remainder is perfect. May peace and peace and peace be everywhere. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Thank you for spending time with me on Damayanti, the show for your soul. To find out more about Damayanti, or to get my book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success, or to purchase my range of beautiful spiritual jewelry, go to my website, damayanti.store. That's damayanti.store. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.